as the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1. In this text you will find the first recorded fear not in the Word of God. And if God in His great mercy should lodge a fear not in your heart, you will want God to do it in just the same way. Fear not, Abraham. You will want it to be made sure in your own soul's experience. I've often wondered at the wonderful condescension of God in how He dealt with His dear people, especially in early Old Testament times, and addressing them by their names. And here you have an instance of it. Fear not, Abraham. And now, in the preceding chapter, not that I wish to take up much time in going into it as the setting of the subject, you will find that Abraham had to do something in his life he never dreamed he would do. He had to go forth to war, because warfare broke out in the nations round about where he lived. And there was one king named Kedor Laomer, with three more kings banded together. They waged war with five more kings banded together. And this Kedor Laomer was like a little Hitler in his day, and he raged around, and in his warfare he conquered Sodom and Gomorrah and took all the goods therein, and this is added, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, where he had no business to be, and his goods, and departed. The news of this was brought to Abraham the Hebrew. Mark that word in. Abraham the Hebrew. I will turn aside a moment and tell you, although you really ought to know, the word Hebrew means one who has crossed the line. And you remember how Abraham was called by grace. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and he crossed the line, and he was on the other side of it, going in that way that God had ordained, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And that is why he is called Abraham the Hebrew, the one who left the world's deceitful shore and left it to return no more. And now when Abraham learned that Lot was taken captive and all to do with him, the word of God says, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. 318, with Abraham and God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And so this great victory was wrought, and God enabled Abraham to behave wonderfully well. He got no benefit at all for himself in going to warfare to deliver Lot, but he did all that he did to the honor and glory of God. He had the offer of all the goods that were captured, but Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went out with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. And that brings us to the text, after these things. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And now, in looking into this subject, it might be helpful if I just show you some of the fears that do arise in poor sinners' hearts when they are born again. But I have tried to ponder what it was in Abraham's breast that caused the Lord to visit him in a vision and lodge a fear not in Abraham's heart to bring what God alone could communicate to him, peace, regarding how matters would fall out as the future unfolded. It may be Abraham thought that this Kedor Laomer would gather together another army and come along again to seek to have revenge. Or it may be that he had many thoughts that those round about in his near vicinity would be envying him and thinking of him going out to war and obtaining victory, and that he might be assailed by those nearer to him. It could have been, I say this with great reverence, that Abraham might have been a bit lifted up. In any case, he felt within conflicting emotions, and God in his great mercy and condescension visited him. There was nothing of the word of God for Abraham to read. Not one page of the Holy Bible was written. And yet it tells us the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." This was the word of God. And you read about the name of God from that viewpoint. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it comes to my mind, and I want you to remember what I'm going to tell you. And that is, you will notice in reading these records of the godly in Old Testament times, while for many years they had very little of the scriptures, and for the earlier years, none at all, to read for their instruction and edification, yet you will find God visited them and lodged words in their hearts, and they had in those far back days like that more outstanding testimonies that many people thought of God nowadays would be very, very glad indeed if they could have something like it in their own souls. Experience. After these things, the word of the Lord came. You remember how often you read, the word of the Lord came to such and one at such a time in such a place. Dear friends, the Lord grant you something like that in his dealings with you. And when such a word comes to you, in your varied cases and circumstances, whatever your name is, God will be saying to you, "Fear not, whoever you are." It is a fear not for you, that you may be of good courage, that as the future unfolds, you shall see the goodness of God passing before you in life's way, and things working together for good, however unlikely it seems to be at times that they will do so. This fear not is a guarantee. Fear not, Abraham. Fear no enemies who may arise to come and disturb you and assail you. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And now let us look at this needs be there is for a fear not to be lodged in our hearts. For all who are taught of God stand in need at times of a fear not. And as I said, they need a fear not like this, fear not Abraham. And how many fear nots there are in the Word of God, fitted into all kinds of circumstances. There are over 60 recorded fear nots in the Word of God. And that means there are 60 needs be's and over for a fear not at times to be lodged in a heaven-bound pilgrim's breast. And now let us start from there. Fear not, Abraham. And now, what is your fear which you would like to be allayed with a fear not? It will be something outstanding and which sometimes you weigh up in the daytime and it keeps you awake at night time. And you wonder if ever you will have your fear allayed. Surely it is to do with whether you are numbered with the people of God or not. You can say, "I love to meet amongst them now, before thy gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all." and you can go on. But can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? And now the hymn writer said, and he felt it, he speaks of it as being a piercing thought. And now, that should encourage you if that thought does pierce you, if it harasses you, if it causes you to have many ifs and buts and hows as to how matters will fall concerning your soul's eternal welfare. Because if it pierces you, you're alive. It is the living will lay these things to heart. The dead know not anything. And whatever your case may be that causes you to be fearful hearted in the possession of it, Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. God has got a fear not laid up for you, whatever your name is. It is in the Lamb's Book of Life, although you can hardly believe it to be so as yet. But as sure as your character as a poor sinner born again is in the sacred pages of the Word of God, so sure, it must be that your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. These two things are joined together. And let not any man who attempts to preach ever put them asunder. If your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can look on some scriptures and see in those scriptures as a mirror, as in water face answereth unto face, so does the heart of man to man. And now, when you look at this, ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And when you look at another lovely scripture, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many such like words are in the Word of God, and they appeal to you. And I read one striking word, a very striking word, in the psalm which was read. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. It does not read, thou satisfiest the desire of God's elect, of all the godly, and of the holy brethren, and of the righteous, and all who can declare they are saints. No. The Holy Spirit comes right down, shall I say, with reverence to the lowest possible level of being a sinner born again. Thou satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Fear not, Abraham. You may have fears, and I must tell you this, fears sometimes in our breasts are like a fire, and the devil can blow upon that fire and make those fears tremendous in our apprehension, in our soul's experience. He tells us we are weak, our hope is in vain, the good that we seek we ne'er shall obtain, and there is that about us ever ready to credit the devil's lies. And so these fears abound, and yet there is the fear not waiting to come into your soul's need. waiting in the covenant of grace, waiting in the gospel proclamation. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows his soul's deep wounds. And now, sometimes you will have a fear because you cannot tell of anything definite in the early dealings of God with you. Some people, by no means the majority in the Church of Christ, can tell of things definite, like the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa. It was at noonday, O King, light shone from heaven above the brightness of the midday sun, and God dealt with me then and there. You cannot do that. And yet, there is this line of things to help you. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. And the Apostle Paul has a lovely expression about feeling after God. And now you cannot put down into words feeling. And yet it is a reality, an experience. And Paul uses that very helpful expression. If haply they might feel after God. I hope some of you, dear young people, know what that is. Although you wouldn't let drop one word that you have such feelings, and yet there is something that goes on between you and God, and that does describe it. You do feel after God. Nothing would give you greater joy than to feel your father's God, your mother's God, was your God too. But you fear to presume, and you have a fear as to whether there is anything in you that God is the author of. And yet, a bruised reed he shall not break, smoking flax he shall not quench. There will be a fear not for you, coming down to help you, still to follow on to know the Lord. However little you seem to feel that you do know at the present time, 'tis grace that makes men feel their need and cry to God for more. Remember that. This fear not is laid up for you, poor sinner. The Lord bless you. He has already blessed you, and he will bless you much more than he has done as yet. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You may say, I hope I do feel after God. I hope I do try to desire a blessing indeed, like Jabez, but as yet, I cannot say much about anything special I have received from God. I want to know that my sins, which are many, are all forgiven, but I have a fear whether I shall ever have that mercy revealed to me. On what do you base your argument? Not on the word of God. It is your own thoughts, your own surmisings. What saith the scriptures? Him that cometh unto me, I will never, never cast out. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is help in God for you. He is the sinner's friend. He delighteth in mercy. And think of this scripture. This man receiveth sinners. And you go to him as a sinner. There is no other word beneath the sun in any dictionary that you can search out that more describes you and tells the truth as to what you really are. And to know that before God means that God in His mercy is leading you into His truth. Remember that. The heart once hard as steel that's made for sin to feel bears tokens of a ransomed soul. However much you may know and feel the plague of your own heart and inquire, depth of mercy, can there be mercy for a wretch like me? The gospel says, yes, there is mercy. Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy, eternal mercy, cries. You shall have a fear not regarding this matter, poor sinner. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Fear not, Abraham. And now you might have a fear because you ponder some scriptures that you read and what you hear quoted in the preaching of the gospel. You have a fear when you think of a scripture like this. He that shall endure unto the end, he and he alone, the same shall be saved. And that sets you thinking, pondering, praying. Shall I endure? Being what I am by nature, and so much opposition from within and from without, shall I endure to the end? There is a fear not for you. Let Joseph Hart help you regarding it. You have heard me quote it many times. You really should know it. And let it be of help to you. Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down. Oh, that is how you endure. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Sometimes God will give you a fear not about it. And it will come to you like this, fear not. Fear not, Abraham. And when it comes to you, you will have such a sweet hope. Rise up. Yes, I to the end shall endure. As sure as the earnest is given, more happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Fear not, Abraham. You may have a fear as to whether what you know of the things of God is deep enough or high enough. You may hear others tell out the things of God, and they go down into the depths, and they climb up into the heights. But you cannot say very much as yet about heights or depths, and then you have a fear as to whether God is indeed leading you into His truth. But then, when you hear people talk of God who can speak of heights and depths in their soul's experience, 99 times out of 100, you will find they have lived long to get those heights and depths wrought in their soul's experience. If it should be in one that is young, that sinner, being so taught of God, is being prepared for glory and not to live a long life. But, as a rule, it is only years that bring us to have what may be called a deep experience and to be able to tell how you have climbed up into the heavenly heights. God's teaching and His growth in grace is not like mushroom growth. A mushroom springs up in the night, but you do not learn the things of God like that. God's children do not learn as schoolboys learn their tasks. No, it is here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And so you follow on to know the Lord and ultimately grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fear not, Abraham, and you poor sinner who have fears about what you know by divine teaching, still pray, lead me in thy truth and teach me. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. You may have a fear concerning the future. And by that I mean in the world at large. You see the world at the present time in a state of chaos and confusion and more wicked than it has ever been yet in its long wicked history. In you it may be, or in life's morning, and you wonder how matters will fall as you go on in life's journey, especially with life's responsibilities. It may be in your family circle and the children God has given you to grow up in the world like it is, with hell let loose in it and ills and evils abounding everywhere. You do need a fear not, and there is a fear not as regards poor sinners asking the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. God has guaranteed it shall be well with them that fear God, in every state secure, kept as Jehovah's eye. 'Tis well with them while life endure, and well when called to die. You can leave your future with God, and He will grant you a fear not regarding it. You think of this word, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And do you seek the Lord regarding the things of time, and most of all things to do with eternity? Fear Him, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you His service your delight. Your wants shall be His care. You shall have fear not, Abraham. Bread shall be given. Water shall be sure. Yea, you shall have a most amazing word. I should like one day to try to preach from it, as grace is given, but all one will be able to do in attempting to preach from it will be to take a thimbleful out of the ocean depths. Think of this word, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. And you put in the cleft of the rock to look out by living faith and see it passing before you. The goodness of God enabling you to say, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace, and yet more grace, and yet more still, grace to live, and the prospect of grace to die. My goodness, the goodness of deity. Listen, the goodness of deity incarnate, and therefore communicable to you, a poor, fearful-hearted sinner desiring to have matters made right between your soul and God. Fear not, Abraham. You can leave the future with God. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And now you might have a fear concerning the end of life's journey. You are solemnly aware, especially some of us, in life's evening time, that the day is not so far off when God will say what he said to Ezekiel, prepare this stuff for removing, and then we shall have to weigh up our religion as to what God has done for us, and humbly hope we shall in his light see light, that the good work begun so long ago has been carried on, and now we shall have a fear not going down into Jordan swelling. Be helped to say with Asaph, though my heart and my flesh fail, God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. I vanquished death by dying. And you will then feel, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? All that is mortal of you will be laid in the grave in sure and certain hope of a joyful resurrection to the life everlasting. And meanwhile, your redeemed spirit will be around the throne of God with millions untold, singing the eternal praises of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity. Fear not, Abraham. I will look at the other side of this scripture. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And the psalmist has a lovely petition in one of his psalms, Psalm 84. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And that will tell you who the shield really is. Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend. Incarnate omnipotence. I am thy shield. Whatever may threaten you, whether it be from earth or from hell itself, or from within you, arising from what you are by nature, Jesus Christ, as a sinner's friend, can shield you from the evil that these things purpose to bring upon you and in your soul's experience. I am thy shield. You need it. You think of when you try to pray, and you do, some of you. And when you do, you have to tell all the truth as to many matters that you know in your conscience are amiss and which ought not to be. You need a shield, first of all, from guilt on your conscience. Do you ever draw near to God and not feel like Daniel? We are verily guilty before thee. Every sinner taught to pray knows what that line of things is, and how glad you are there is a name above every name to plead. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That rich atoning blood which sprinkled round I see provides for all who come to God, an all-prevailing plea. I am thy shield. I came down into this world for you, Abraham, in the fullness of time, to be made of a woman, made under the law, taking the human nature into union with my divine nature, that I might do love's redeeming work, and you were interested in that work. And love's redeeming work is done, fought the fight, the battle won. And now, I am thy shield. There shall no evil befall thee. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. From guilt which besets you, when your conscience is loaded with it, and you feel no sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy face, you shall realize through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I am thy shield when you go about in the world at large and your fears run high as to whether you will fall a prey to what you are by nature and worldliness possess you, and in your soul's experience you are made lean thereby. What did Jesus say? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Oh, you must still pray, save me from this bewitching world, which has to death 10,000 hurled. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield from all that may arise in the world against you. Following on to know the Lord, if persecution should arise, I am thy shield, and God can grant you grace to help in such a time of testing as that would be. And I'm very much afraid the profession of many, if a time of persecution should come, it would be a very crucial test, and many would give up and go back and walk no more with Jesus in a profession of his name. And you and I need to weigh the matter up as to how things would be with us. But we do humbly hope we should find grace all-sufficient to stand fast in the faith. I am thy shield when you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I am thy shield to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You know the soldier in Old Testament warfare was behind this shield, and he fought the enemy from being behind the shield, which he used to protect him, while at the same time he assailed the enemy. And according to what we do read, they gained great dexterity in using the shield. Oh, that you and I might do the same in warring a good warfare, in enduring in our profession of Jesus' name. I am thy shield. And then, when it comes to the duties and difficulties and responsibilities of everyday life, when something begins to well up within you and you say, how shall we do in this matter or that? Then this word will still help you to do what you should do. In everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall possess your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you will find the goodness of God will go before you. A way will be made where there seems to be no way. And in God doing that for you, He is just saying to you, fear not, I am thy shield. I am determined to do you good. I shall never leave off doing it. I am determined to carry on the good work in you and bring it at last to a God-glorifying finish. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. And now look at this cluster of words. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. It would have been wonderful if God had said, I am thy shield, Abraham. I will recompense you for what you have suffered along life's journey hitherto. I will recompense you. No. This is something altogether bigger and better beyond words to describe. Thy exceeding great reward. I'll try to ponder in my heart to give you a little outline of what that is. But words are very difficult to find. In fact, you can only find scripture words to do anything at all. Here is one beautiful illustration of it. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. These are men ordained of God to preach the gospel and speak comfortable words to you, to encourage you to hope in God, whatever the outlook may be. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, whatever they are this Sabbath afternoon, for you, and things to come, whatever they may be, things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Thy exceeding great reward. And sometimes this is known in times when we are put to great stress and strain in enduring in our profession. And there is one word which I much like in describing it, and that is found in the little prophecy of Habakkuk. And now, it was a day of trouble, and all around things seemed to be giving way. And then Habakkuk found this welling up in his heart, and he declares, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Like the hymn writer says, having Jesus, I have an immortal store. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He who has made my heaven secure will here all things provide. While Christ is rich, I can't be poor. What can I want beside? Only just a sweet confirmation. Fear not, Abraham. Fear not to allay the fears and to do as I said. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Amen.